want to speak another message in the series on personal holiness. A number of weeks ago, I preached a message on Sunday night defining the holiness of God. Holiness of God defines the standard for living. God is a holy God. Tozer said, holy is the way that God is. To be holy does not conform to a standard. He is that standard. God is that standard. The holiness of God is depicted in the lives of His children, or it's to be flushed out in our everyday lives. It demands personal purity. It demands a hatred for sin. It demands to know the difference between the holy and the profane. It dictates how a man comes to God. All of that relates to the fact that God is a holy God. In our world today, there's a word that is taking over our world. It's the word entertainment. And it has every inlet into our lives. The word entertain means to provide someone with amusement and enjoyment. However, entertainment can become entrapment. Tonight I'm speaking a message entitled Entertainment or Entrapment. Peter, James, John, Abraham, and Moses didn't have to worry about what movies their son might watch, what the environment might be like at the local high school, let alone what the environment might be at a high school prom. They didn't have to worry about TV shows that their kids might get hooked on, or what is the latest movie that their children might want to watch at the movie theater. They never had any of those things to deal with. They didn't have to worry what their daughters might be watching or listening to on their cell phones. Nor did they face the challenges of social media, texting, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Skype, Marco Polo, Messenger, Google Hangouts, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Snapchat, Periscope, Hulu, Pandora, and the list could go on. Some of you may say, "Preacher, what did you just say?" While others of you are saying, "I know what you're talking about, preacher." They, as I mentioned at the start, have every inlet possible into lives today. Today, Satan has thrown the treble hook of entertainment into the water. And I'm sad to say, but some Christians have bitten hook, line, and sinker. Today, the trap has been set. And Christian families, caught member by member, are caught in this same trap. Is all entertainment bad? No. There's times for enjoyment. There's times that God gives us where we can enjoy times together. God's not saying thou shalt never have any fun. Okay, I don't want to come across that way in the message tonight. However, the entertainment trap is something that is easy to get sucked into. And in our personal holiness, we have to have good biblical test by which to look at everything that's coming at us full force in this arena. It is true that entertainment can become entrapment. Families used to spend time together playing a game, enjoying the outdoors, throwing a football around the backyard, kicking a soccer ball, throwing a frisbee around. But I noticed something this year when I was out door knocking for VBS and spent a number of hours, a number of evenings with my family out just knocking on doors, inviting young people to VBS. You know what I noticed? No young people were outdoors. I knocked on tons of doors, and we were in lots of different communities. No young people outdoors. You know why? Because we have become a society that's based upon entertainment. It's entertainment that controls our hours in the evening. And so tonight, I want to give you a number of tests on this front. Today, entertainment can be all-consuming in your life if you're not careful. Weekends for most people mean watching movies, playing on their phones, and surfing the web. If I've got time off from work, if I've got time that I don't have responsibilities, oh, it's time to give myself to all of these things. It becomes consuming. Most Christians defend their entertainment choices today by a statement like this: it really doesn't affect me that much. When in reality, it affects us a whole lot. I want to show you how it affects us tonight. We become numb to sinful, worldly, and wicked images, to worldly music, to shows, to games, to language, to scenes, that we are caught in a snare that is robbing us of hours of time, stealing away our sensitivity to sin, capturing our mind-breathing philosophies and values into our mind and into our hearts, setting the direction and course for our children, and we simply just do not see it as a snare. We don't see it as the possibility of becoming entrapped. We have good reasons for it all, but we don't see the possibility that it could be an entrapment. You know, a trap is never out in the open. Some of you have done trapping. Some of our young men have done trapping. And when you go out and place a trap, you don't just place it right out in the open of the middle of the field without disguising it somehow. By the way, some of the things that I mentioned tonight can be used for good. I use Marco Polo. All right, you may not even know what Marco Polo is, but it's a video where you can shoot a video back and forth, a live video. And so this week I shot video with Marcia. Sometimes she'll send me a video of what's happening over in the Philippines, and those things can be good. I'm not preaching against all of this as wickedness and evil tonight, but I am saying that it can become an entrapment. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Entrapment is the state of being caught in or being in a trap. Think about a trap with me. When you're in a trap, you can't go where you want to go. You get an animal caught in a trap, and that animal was out maybe searching for food. Maybe that animal was moving from one woods and heading over to another woods. But the moment that that animal is trapped, that animal cannot get to where it needs to go, to where it wants to go. It's entrapped. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible speaks of a spiritual entrapment, a choice not to be entangled when you are being a soldier or when you are committed to being a soldier of Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." When a person is given to war, he's given to a focus. We have men on the battlefield today. We have men in different areas of the world that are defending our freedoms. When they go into basic training, when they're getting their training, they have focus. They are learning something. They are learning how to use their firearm, or they're working on physical conditioning to get themselves in shape for when they're out on the battlefield. It brings focus. Here, Paul writes young Timothy and says this: you can't war and be entangled at the same time. No man that warreth and has that focus spiritually is entangled with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And so all of us are soldiers here tonight in the Lord's army. And in order to be a soldier that pleases God, we have to keep ourselves free from being entangled in the affairs of this life that would distract us from being the soldier and fighting the warfare that we ought to fight. Tonight I want to help believers in the area of personal holiness, and I believe a major step forward in this area of your spiritual life and my spiritual life requires a major decision to make some adjustments in this important area that we are being bombarded with every day on every front. What is killing our homes? What is confusing our Christian testimony? What is sapping our time? What is causing relationships to be very shallow, almost non-existent, is that we have lost some discernment in this area. Discernment is important in the Christian life. It's necessary in order to be holy. You have to know what is holy and what is profane in order to give yourself to things that are holy. There has to be that marked difference. We have to have our spiritual antennas up to be able to discern. I want to help you tonight look at a number of biblical tests to strengthen your antennas of discernment so that you don't become entrapped in the realm of entertainment. Discernment is the simple ability to define and act upon the difference between right and wrong, Or, as Spurgeon said, between right and almost right. It's looking out over the landscape of your life and examining everything you encounter and judging between good and bad. That's the first judgment. And then judging between that which is good and that which is better. That's the second judgment. And then judging between that which is better and that which is best. That's discernment. How do we learn discernment? We look at tests in the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 5, I want you to turn over there in verse number 14. It is easy to grow lazy in exercising our senses to discern between good and evil, especially in this area of entertainment, this area of amusement, this area of recreation. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 14, talks about those that use the milk being unskillful in the word. Here we have somebody that's newly saved. They're just learning the milk of the word. Guess what? Their discernment has not been developed yet. They are learning the milk of the word. They have not become skillful in the word to be able to go to the word and say, okay, Lord, help me to choose between that which is bad and that which is good. That which is good and that which is better. Help me to choose between that which is best and that which is better. A young Christian, somebody that's unskillful in the word, has not developed that, according to Hebrews 5. But a person that has used their senses in the word of God, has exercised their eyes and their mind and their heart in the word of God, has been under biblical preaching and teaching, ought to be a Christian that is able to make those discerning calls in their lives in order to please God, in order to be holy before God. Hebrews 5 teaches us that, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have exercised or have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, test or prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. I have a responsibility as a Christian. You have a responsibility as a Christian. Young person, you have a responsibility as a Christian to test things. What do we test things by? Do we test things by the fact that, you know, there's somebody else in the church that does it? Do we test things by, you know, it's acceptable by my friend that goes to this church? They play this game. They watch this show. They're involved in this social media. How do I test things? I test things by principle. I look at principle and I take things and I put it through the grid of Bible principle. Now, if it matches Bible principle, then I have an approval by who? By God. And if it doesn't match Bible principle, then it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. I don't have an approval by God. So if it fails principle, it fails the test. Therefore, I've got to guard myself from it. That is how we prove all things. We test things by Bible principle. Therefore, the more you know this book, the more you're familiar with its principles, the better you are going to be able to test, to discern between those areas that we distinguish. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. A person without discernment, a person that has not been taught to test things, is a simple man according to Proverbs. He's a naive person. A naive person is somebody that's carried about with everything. So what is the role of the church and the function of the pastor within the church? The role of the pastor is to teach God's people so that they become discerning. I want you to see it in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 14. The Bible says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. What is the role of the preacher? If you go back to verses 11 and 12, it talks about the gifts given to the church. One of them is the pastor. What is his goal? His goal is to instruct. His goal is to ground people in truth and doctrine and principle. Why? So that you're not carried about with everything. So that you're not just going along with the flow of whatever's happening in the world, whatever the current fad is, whatever the latest book is, whatever the latest movie is, whatever the latest offer is on the front of entertainment, so that you're not just carried about by the sleight of men, by cunning craftiness, but you are speaking truth in love. You are grounded in truth. You are making decisions based upon principle, based upon Bible truth. That is the job of the pastor. That's why the preaching and teaching of God's Word is important, and it's got to be relevant to where we live, and it is today. I want to show you how it's relevant. It's amazing the great lengths we will go to in order to protect our children from all kinds of things. Some people believe, bless God, my children aren't going to get vaccinations. And that's a parental choice, and it should be a parental choice. Some children, some parents say, bless God, my baby's not going to have formula. And that's a parental choice. Some parents say, my children's not coming to church during the sick season because I don't want them to get sick. Parental choices. My children's not going to take any drugs or medication. Everything I put into them is going to be natural. And you know, as a parent, you may not be in protective in one of those areas, but you know somebody that is, and truth of the matter is all parents are protective in some area. But I want you to know something, that while you're in the kitchen, the TV is babysitting your children, you are opening them up to something far more dangerous than you could protect on any other front. You are opening their heart up to influence. That is a big deal. In fact, that's a bigger deal than any of the things that I just previously mentioned. When you feed your child the junk of Hollywood, expect garbage to come out. Expect rebellion. Expect a disinterest in studying the Word of God. Expect a dead heart spiritually. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 119, verse 37? Lord, cause my eyes to cease from beholding vanity, that I may what? That you may quicken me, that you may make me alive spiritually. In other words, I can't give my eyes to all of that stuff and my ears to all of that stuff all the time and be alive and fervent in spirit as a Christian. The psalmist made that conclusion. He said, I can't have both. And so, Lord, this is more important to me, that I'm alive spiritually. Therefore, cause my eyes not to behold vanity. When you allow them to take in the behavior and the content of the world through their headphones and the music of the world, which is exactly what you don't want in their life, I want you to know it's an entrapment. It's not simply entertainment. It's an entrapment. If you think that the programs that you watch and allow your children or grandchildren to watch do not affect their beliefs, you had better wake up tonight. You had better turn the light bulb on. In a world with fewer and fewer explicit boundaries, Christian young people get their philosophy of life, they get their idea of romance, they get their content for their vocabulary, their appearance and their fashions, their hairstyles, their fantasies about war, their unrealistic view of life from television, movies, and games today. They get all of that. All of that comes through the media or the vehicle of entertainment. Don't think that you can give yourself and your children's minds to hours of that a day, and it's not really affecting them. It is affecting them. It's garbage going in. And garbage going in means garbage coming out. You say, preacher, I don't support that stuff. I don't support homosexuality. Then you ought not to watch a show that has it in it. You ought not to get connected to a series that's promoting homosexuality, or you are supporting it by watching it, by giving your eyes and your mind and your ears and your children's ears, mind and eyes and heart to all of that. It's still an abomination to the Lord. You may argue that, but every time you watch a program that promotes that kind of obscenity, you are in effect promoting it yourself. Turn to Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1. You know where many Christian young people get their viewage of marriage today? From television, from country music, from the greatest pop star that just divorced his fourth wife because of cheating on him. And this is, you allow your ears, you allow your children's ears to give yourself to this junk. It's going to develop how they view the context of marriage that is God-given, and God has a lot to say about it, but their minds aren't being filled with what God has to say about it. Their minds are being filled with what Hollywood has to say about it. Romans chapter 1, look at verse number 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Do you understand that when you give your eyes to entertainment and media sources that is filthy, that is defiled, that is corrupt, whether it's language, whether it's scenes, whether it's philosophies, whether it's promoting homosexuality or promoting philosophies that are against the Word of God, you are having pleasure and taking pleasure and amusement in people that are doing wicked things, which is what Romans chapter 1 verse 32 talks about. It talks about having pleasure in those that do them. You say, preacher, you're pretty warmed up tonight. I am warmed up. Because all of Hollywood is fighting against what we're trying to get across here. It's our enemy. Today our children learn, you know what? If you're not doing good at a game, you can just hit restart. 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 Oh, I'm not doing good. Let's just start over. What's that teach them about life? Just hit restart. Just hit restart. It's subconsciously built into them. And so today, we have a bunch of people that they try out a job. I don't like the job. Hit restart. I don't like a marriage. Hit restart. Hit restart. Where's all that coming from? It's coming from entrapments. It's coming from entrapments. You spend much time around young people that watch a lot of television and movies, and it won't be long until you hear them say something in jest. And you might say, I wonder where that came from. And you know what? They'll tell you the movie it came from. They can tell you. They remember. They remember what they see. And so do you. You have entertainment, and entertainment is reaching them in all different ways. It's reaching their ears. It's reaching their eye gate. It's reaching their emotions. It's reaching everything about them. Don't tell me the entertainment industry is not having an influence on people today. Kids get into playing war games. What's their philosophy of war? War's fun. I get to kill people. I get to pick out the latest weapon. I can get a weapon anytime. How unrealistic is it painting of what life is like when we give hours of our minds to these things? And yet, it's all glory. War's not glory. Go up to the National Civil War Museum in Harrisburg. Walk through that. See the bloody men statues. Read about the things that they suffered in war. War's not a glory thing. But oh boy, that video game playing war is a blast. What's it teaching our young people about war? That it's a blast? That we can just go around and kill people? We can put 30 bullets in them. We can drop a bomb on them. What's it teaching? You see what I'm saying? We go into things easy and we don't think as far as the effect and the influence, the discernment level of what it's doing to our minds and our hearts. The entertainment industry today, I would argue, is leading many Christians away from living a holy life. Look at first the test of the eyes, if you will. Luke chapter 11, and I'm not going to get through all of it. I'll spend 2 weeks on the subject, but Luke chapter 11, verse number 34. The test of the eyes, first of all. The Bible says the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Very interesting passage of Scripture. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. What is Jesus telling us, and what is the actual warning in this passage? The actual warning is this: what you look at, where you look, and what you focus upon influences your whole body. If your eye is light, your whole body is light. But if your eye is evil, you give your eyes to wrong things, then what does it do to the body? The Bible says the whole body is full of darkness. Folks, we can't give our eyes and our ears to everything that's coming down the pike in the entertainment world and expect to have a bright life. A life that is full of light, an open face, a clear heart. You're not going to get all of that if you're pouring your eyes and your minds and your ears and your heart into things that are not light, into things that are dark, into things that are evil. You're not going to have an open face. Young people, you're not going to be able to walk up and talk to an adult with an open heart and an open mind and be able to carry on a clear conversation if your mind is in this kind of stuff. It's not going to happen. The test of the eyes. Could I ask you tonight, what are you giving your eyes to? Because what you give your eyes to is going to reflect, really, in essence, what you're giving your soul to. The light of the body is the eye. What comes through the eye gate affects the whole body. When thine eye is evil, thy body is full of darkness. The test of the eyes. The psalmist, again, in Psalm 119, verse 37, knew that. He wanted to be quickened in his soul. But to be quickened in his soul, he had to change what he was given his eyes to. Stop mine eyes from beholding vanity, that my soul may be quickened, that I may be quickened in the way of the Lord, that I may want to walk in the way of the Lord. But I can't do it if my eyes are going the opposite direction. Number two, the test of distraction. The test of distraction. Philippians chapter 2, if you will. Philippians chapter 2. One of the ways that entertainment becomes an entrapment is when it keeps us from fulfilling our daily responsibilities and duties. You know that you and I have daily responsibilities and duties. I have physical duties. I have spiritual duties. I have duties before the Lord. I have duties to my church, and I have duties to my kids, and I have duties to my wife. I have all kinds of duties in life. You know where entertainment becomes an entrapment? Where I am giving myself to entertainment and I'm not giving myself to duties. Amen. Talked with the staff this year about Vacation Bible School. One of the reasons our numbers are down in Vacation Bible School is because children today have no structure. They have a summer that's open. They stay up late on their phones, on their computers, on their televisions, on their tablets, on their iPads, on Snapchat, on Facebook, on whatever. To the wee hours of the morning. And by the way, it's not only children. It's adults too. And then it comes 9:30 VBS in the morning, which is late. And guess what? Kids don't even want to get out of bed. I knocked on one door. I talked to a mother. Child was in the background. Introduced VBS with excitement. Showed them the flyer. Told them about the theme. Hey, we'd love your children to come to VBS. The mother looked around and said, do you want to come? No, I don't want to go to that. You know why? They have a life built on entertainment. Who wants to come to Vacation Bible School when you've been entrapped with entertainment? If you are more concerned about Facebook in the morning than about the Word of God and devotions and prayer in the morning, you are entrapped, my friend. Entertainment has become an entrapment, and something's out of order. It's a distraction. Philippians chapter 2 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know what entertainment does? It feeds self. Selfie. Ding. You know what entertainment is? All about self, not about others. When the biblical command is, I'm to give my life to others, I'm to focus on others, I'm to be motivated to look on the needs of others. But entertainment is an entrapment when it keeps us from others. I've had parents tell me, you know what, I can't talk to my kids. I said, what do you mean you can't talk to your kids? Preacher, all they do is go like this. That's a very selfish thing. To give no time to your parents, young person, because this is more important. Or this is more important. Or this is more important. Entrapment. It's entrapment in the form of distraction. It's keeping us from relationships. It's keeping us from investing in others. God says we're to invest in others. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Could I ask you tonight, is the technology, media, and entertainment bombardment in your home keeping you from ministering to others? About a year and a half ago, I preached a message and called an extreme makeover. How many of you remember that message? In that message, I challenged you to have a fast of the cell phone, of the computer, of the television, of videos, of movies, of all of it, with the exception that some of you have to use those things for work, and I understand that. You know what I had? I had a number of people that came to me and said, Pastor, we got to do things for our neighbors. We got to make things for our neighbors. We had all this time freed up. We didn't know what to do with all this time because we got out of the trap, is what they were saying. I got out of this thing. And when I got out of this thing, boy, I was free. I could put my mind on others again. Question, has entertainment become an entrapment? That means every time you have free time, you run to it. You run to it. You run to it. The test of distraction. The test of temperance. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Can I ask you another question tonight about this area in your life as you think about being holy before the Lord? Does social media, television, video games, surfing the web, watching movies control you, or do you control them? Galatians chapter 5 speaks of one of the fruits of the Spirit. Verse number 23, it speaks of the fruit of temperance. What is temperance? Temperance is self what? Control. It's self-restraint. If you get into something and it controls you, you better put it away. If you can't control it and it controls you, you are entrapped, my friend. Now, we have this principle in the area of smoking, do we not? And drinking. What do we tell people? Don't ever try it the first time. Why? Because you can easily become what? Entrapped. You can easily become controlled. Brethren, in the area of entertainment, I want you to know it is easy to become controlled. It is easy to be under the control or the influence of this constantly in your life. Some of you are on Facebook. You know what you got to do? I challenge you to do this week. Just do an exercise. How many times do you check it in a day? It's 9 o'clock. Ooh, I got to see what somebody said. Oh, yeah. It's 9:45. Ooh, I got to check it again. Oh, yeah. This is going on in their life. They're eating Cheerios today for breakfast. Good. 10:15. Oh, I got to check it again. You know what? It has control of you. You don't have control of it. It has control of you. That's a problem. Because when something else has control of us, what no longer has control of us? The Spirit of God. And we now have lost a fruit of the Spirit, which is called temperance. We are not under control. Something controls us. Last thing I'll give you tonight is the test of maturity. Turn over to Psalm chapter 101. Psalm 101. the test of maturity. For some reason today, there's a temptation to believe that the way I am in public and the way I am in private can be different. Okay? The test of maturity is in Psalm 101. The psalmist writes this in verse number 2. I want you to look at verses 2 and 3, giving you a number of tests just whereby to examine your own life, just to practice discernment in your own life in this area. The test of maturity, verse 2 says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. We know the word perfect throughout the scriptures is generally referring to somebody that is mature in their faith, or speaking of spiritual maturity. Here the psalmist makes a decision. I want to behave myself in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? Look what his decision is. I will walk where? Within my house. With a perfect heart. Doesn't mean perfection. We know that nobody is ever perfect. Okay? But he's saying, I want to walk in my house with a spiritually mature heart. Now, look at verse number 3. In that context, what does he say? I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. The test of spiritual maturity, Father, is what happens in your home as a person. What decision you have made with your eyes and for your family. What decision you have made for their eyes. And what decision you have made for their ears. All of that coming down to what choices you are making or allowing in the realm of entertainment. Because he said about, he talks about his heart in verse number 2, and he talks about his eyes in verse number 3. Your choices in this area affect and reveal the lack of maturity in your heart spiritually, or reveal your maturity in your heart. Could I say it a different way? What you're watching, what you're hearing, what you're giving your time and your mind and your heart to reveals where you're at in personal holiness. It's important. The Spirit of God put this phrase in the Bible. There's a vital connection between the heart and the eyes. In order to have a perfect heart, you have to have discernment in this realm. Remember the other week I taught you on grace, and grace is teaching us to say no to more and more things. Grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. You say, preacher, I don't like saying no. No, that's what grace does. That's what God's grace does in your life. It brings you to the point that you say, boy, this is not having a good impact on me. This is not influencing me right. And in my life, I'm speaking honestly tonight, in this realm, I have had recently to step back from some things, cross off some things, change time on some things, because I face the same battle that you do. It's an onslaught everywhere. And so tonight, as we close, I'm asking you to consider some commitments. By the way, in the theaters, I just checked in the theaters. I thought, what's the movies like today? I have no idea. You know what the movies are like today? 2017, in the theaters. Do You Take This Man? It's a movie in the theaters right now. You know what that's about? Two men getting married. That's what it's about. Now, you go to the movie theater, or one of your kids goes to the movie theater and watches that movie. Question, is that building them up in the faith? Is that helping them in truth? Is that going to affect their heart and warm their heart towards God? Absolutely not. City of Ghosts, another movie in the movie theater. I don't know anything about these movies, but just the titles are scary. Bronx Gothic. Need I go any further? Hollywood's not writing How to Know for Sure You're Going to Heaven. No So Salvation. Let me teach you that. We're going to have a movie on that. Do you see, folks, that the world is pushing, and it's pushing hard in this area, and it's capturing, and it's entrapping And unless Christians have some spiritual discernment to say, you know what? I got to make some wise choices here because my heart has to be alive unto the Lord. And it cannot be alive unto the Lord and be dominated in these areas of entertainment that just keep coming my way. What about you? Has entertainment become, in some way, an entrapment? That's why I put on my Facebook page about a month ago. I'm leaving Facebook. I was on there for different purposes, but it was not edifying me. And the purposes, I weighed the purposes that I was on there, sharing things with my family, keeping an eye, being watchful for the church. And I looked at what it was doing to me personally, and I said, it's not worth it. I'm done. I don't get on it unless I'm told that I need to check something out by somebody. Otherwise, I stay off it. I don't need it. You know what it does? It clutters my mind. All kinds of stuff. I don't have a clear mind. All this knowledge from everywhere coming in. It was an entrapment to me. I'm asking you tonight, is there some realm in which entertainment has become an entrapment? If it is, you need to get out of the entrapment tonight. It may mean cutting something off altogether. It may mean putting devices away. Grew up, my father had a television, but there were many times that Dad said, okay, it's going up in the attic. I'll let you know when it comes back out. You know why he did that? He taught us it's not going to control us. We are going to control it. I wonder if there's something that needs to be rooted out tonight where you're entrapped.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.